Chapter 1. Miriam. Exiting the dorm elevator, her arms loaded down with plastic bags, Miriam Howard froze at the sound of the raised voice coming from the RA's room.
I don't mind rooming with a freshman. I don't mind not getting my requested roommate, but I draw the line at rooming with a freak.
Shelley, she's not a freak. Don't talk that way. She's not even a freshman.
The door closed, but Miriam could still hear them.
She has the personality of an end table, Jill. She won't look at me when I speak to her. It's like talking to a houseplant.
You've wanted a room to yourself, Jill said.
Think of it that way. You won't have to make small talk.
Miriam closed her eyes. She liked the RA, Jill, but she could tell whoever made room assignments hadn't fully comprehended Treya's situation. Back in the spring, Miriam had flown to Tennessee with Treya and met with the dean of admissions to describe the special circumstances. She'd gone on a tour of the Bethesda campus and the dormitory. Treya, she was told, would be nurtured and helped to become all she could be. And under no circumstances would the faculty or administration exploit Treya's semi-celebrity status. In fact, only a few on campus had even seen the documentary that featured her story. Treya's secret was safe. Would Treya be safe, though? That was the question that drew Miriam to the girl when she had first met her. She had hired Treya at Desert Gardens because the girl seemed so vulnerable and yet so competent with the older residents. As Treya's story had unfolded, Miriam had grown more attached to her and had taken on a motherly role that had brought her all the way to Tennessee to help Treya in her next steps. Earlier today, when they'd flown in from Tucson, Miriam had returned from the Enterprise rental counter to find Treya standing at the start of the baggage claim carousel, alone and inconspicuous. She'd studied the girl, trying to see her through a stranger's eyes. Treya had certainly made progress with, what would she call it? Her condition? Her disability? The medication prescribed along with the exercise and diet had helped the girl lose weight. Her nystagmus, an involuntary eye movement, had improved, and those who didn't look closely wouldn't notice. Still, there was no question that Treya was different. Miriam hated the word. It was a category, a way of pigeonholing. Different meant challenged or special. None of the words came close to describing Treya and what she faced in life or in attending college alone. She walked to the RA's door and stood there listening, about to knock, when something rose up inside. Something that told her to turn and leave, to let them work it out. This was no longer her job. A bird must flap its wings in the wind alone. Miriam took the bags to Treya's room.
All right. I got some tissues and a few pieces of silverware in case you want a snack in your room and...
She shook out the pillowcase. You'll want to wash this before you sleep on it. You remember where the laundry is, right?
Treya nodded. She was on the corner of her bed wearing her scrubs, preferring them to jeans, another of the girl's quirks.
I don't think my roommate likes me.
Miriam kept unloading the bags.
Well, she doesn't know you yet.
Treya held a folded piece of paper, turning it over and over.
What do you have there? Miriam said, sitting beside her.
I found it as I was unpacking. She handed her the note, and Miriam recognized her husband's scrawl. She tried to act casual about it, as if she'd read the words before. But she really handed it back because her eyes were too blurry. Just the thought of Charlie taking this step moved her. But right now, everything moved her. The girl had awakened something in him, too.
They don't make them like Charlie anymore, do they?
Treya said.
Miriam laughed. No, they sure don't. Charlie opened up a little sliver of his heart for you. I think you're in there forever.
Treya folded the note and put it back in her suitcase and zipped the flap. The suitcase was gigantic, a gift from one of the Desert Gardens residents, Elsie Pratt.